John 18. I'm going to be more feeding you tonight and just trying to give you some good truth and then make you appreciate something. And I want to talk about the value of truth tonight or value the truth. And John 18, one of the things that humans, the sad human condition is this for most people, is what they do is they understand the value of things constantly looking backwards. That's the human condition. We do not know the value of things when we have them. We know the value of things once we lose them. Say health, family, a church, all these things. We generally spend our time kind of whining about what we have and looking back on all that we had and saying, boy, that sure was nice. I wish I had that again. I wish I had my youth again. I wish I had my innocence again. I wish I had my family back. I wish I had this. And people don't know how good their church is until a church has a disaster and something bad happens to their church. In other words, it's kind of our human condition. And when you're in your 60s, you wish you had your health in your 50s. When you're 50s, you wish you had health in your 40s. But you never in the 40s enjoyed your health. And in the 20s, you weren't smart enough. In your teens, you didn't know you had good health. You just thought, I can't believe people got fat. I'll never get fat. And so you don't always think straight. And that's our condition, is not appreciating and looking back. And I want to talk about valuing the truth while you have it. Oh, let's see. John 18, and I'll start at verse 35. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own..." This is Jesus in trial here. "Thine own nation and the chief priests had delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would I my fervent servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So Jesus said, hey, if people are looking for truth, they'll hear what I say, because they'll know. They'll know I'm the truth. Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault at all." Let's pray. And Lord, thank you for the chance to teach on truth, Lord. Now, Lord, it's a precarious thing, because your word is truth, your spirit is truth, your son is truth. I don't want to make any mistakes, Lord, and I want to teach the truth of your word. So I pray you'd please help, Father, and just help us to see it and help us to love the truth and help us to revel in it and to be changed by it, Father. Now, we need your help in this. We need your insight, and I pray you would speak to us now and that we would get truth, Father, and help everybody here to understand their relationship with the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here is a royal king, Pilate, and he has all this authority, this governor, this person who has all this authority, has the wealth, he has everything, and he's standing there and he doesn't understand. This person doesn't look guilty to him. He doesn't understand the Jewish customs and why they delivered this guy. He didn't kill anybody, and he says, you know, Pilate, you have, my father gives this authority, and you know, if I were of this world, then I would, my people would fight, but I'm not of this world, and I was sent to this purpose to die, and he says, and I know the truth, and I speak the truth. Well, Pilate just says a very sad statement. With all the education, all the royalty, and all the wise men around him, he just says, "What is truth?" And Pilate had no idea standing in front of him was the God that created the universe. He just didn't have truth. It's a tragic thing not to have the truth. I think if you grow up around the truth, you grow up in a right atmosphere and hearing the truth of the Word of God, which the Word of God is truth, I think you don't really know what you have. The people who appreciate the truth the most are usually people who had a long time without the truth and walked in darkness and suddenly saw the truth and they said, "Wow, man, this is amazing." To know what is the truth, and to know what's right, and to know what direction is, and know what to give your life to know what's going to last forever. The truth is so vital. I want to take you back to Isaiah 59. Isaiah I believe the truth is available for anybody if they'll seek after it with all their heart and handle the truth properly that they have. We'll get to that at the end of the message. Isaiah 59 is a country that had been told they're going to go be destroyed if they didn't do certain things, and if they didn't stop certain things, Israel continued to do those things. And then prophets like Isaiah came and said, hey, you're about to be destroyed. They had a country conquer them, but the country didn't destroy them. And Isaiah said, submit to this country. And they said, we will not. We're going to rebel. And he says, if you rebel, you're going to be destroyed. And they didn't like Isaiah's point of view. They got some other people who gave other point of views, and they rebelled, and then they were destroyed, and then they were scattered and everything else. And they continued to have prophets that said, this is not because of your wickedness. They had prophets who said, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And Isaiah 59 is kind of a lamentation of, you know, this is your fault, and you're not really living in reality. Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. In other words, God can save you from all this. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. It's a powerful verse that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongues have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for the truth. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They are living wrong, doing bad things. Their own iniquities have caused this, and they will not accept that. And it says, the strange thing about that, and all that, nobody is pleading for the truth. In other words, nobody's saying, why? What? Just tell me the truth. I really want to know what happened. Why are we in this condition, and what can we do? See, God says, my arm's not shortened, but nobody really wants to know the truth. That's a sad state of affairs. What a phrase. No man pleadeth for the truth. They trust in vanity. They make up something and it's not really there. And they just make up something to make them feel good, but it's not true. They have been deceived and they wanted to believe that the captivity wasn't really going to happen and there'd be no judgment and they would be free and it wasn't because of their sin and it was not their fault. But they've been, and they eventually found people to tell them what they wanted to hear. Jeremiah in chapter 5 and verse 12. They belied the Lord and said, it is not he. This is Jeremiah 5:12. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. This is what they're all told. Chapter 6 and verse 14. It says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And Jeremiah chapter 14, again, we're not in Isaiah, we're in Jeremiah now, and verse 13, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, a prophet saying to them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. So, prophets came, told them, no, you're not going to have these things. I know these prophets are telling you these things, but we're prophets too, and you're not going to have these problems. You're not going to go into that. God is not that upset. It's okay. And they did not have the truth, and everything the prophets said happened. Now, I want to say this. This Bible is 100% in hundreds of prophecies. Everything it's ever said has always happened. It's not like 99% of them happen. 100%. Okay? They're continuing to happen today. Okay, prophecies continue to be fulfilled. We see these things happening, and it's gonna, and people might say, no, that stuff's not going to happen. The end times not going to happen. Listen, when you've had that many times the Bible said something's going to happen, there were impossible odds. Israel coming back to be in Israel and not being destroyed, and then coming back to be a nation and taking the land back, and all. There's so many, it just keeps on happening. The European Union happening when these countries have been at war for thousands of years, and all of a sudden they're all joined again, as the Bible said it would happen. As they continue today to happen and happen and happen, people might say, because that truth has consequences and things added to it. If that is true, then what I'm doing is wrong. If that is true, then the Bible's right about everything, and Jesus is who he said he was, and then I must be born again, and all these things that happen. But people don't always want truth. So they were in complete darkness. Let me take you back to that chapter. In Isaiah 59. So because they didn't really plead for the truth and to find out what really happened and why are we in this situation, they just walked around in darkness. And what a sad thing. When you don't have truth, you have no idea. Isaiah 59, verse 7, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace have they not known. There is nor judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Judgment's far from us. Listen, if you would have asked me when I was 15 years old or 14 years old, I'd say, you know, no, I kind of have a pretty good idea about things, and I understand things pretty well. I cannot believe what darkness I was in. I didn't even know I was in darkness. I was in so much darkness, I didn't know I was in darkness. How many of you, for part of your life, you were in darkness and you cannot believe what you didn't know? Raise your hand, okay? When you have that, and Dennis and I were talking about this morning, that, boy, you really don't even know how much you didn't know until you see the Bible. And also you're like, what? What was I thinking? And you see it. They're just walking around in darkness. They don't even know why, because they didn't have the truth. And there was no truth around for them to know. In verse 14 is a sad verse. And judgment is turned away backward. Boy, that's America. Good people are bad. Bad people are good. It's all backward. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Somebody wants to do right, they get in trouble and they get attacked. I'm saying, you know, if you're a Christian and you say, I want a married couple in my house, you know, the government will force you to rent your house out to a homosexual couple who's not married, and you can't do a thing about it because you're the bad guy. Okay? You can't even require a couple to be married. You can't require anything. Okay? Because you're the bad guy. Okay? It is backward. And equality can't get in because everybody's thinking's wrong. And understand, it's darkness. And those who try to do right get attacked, it says, because truth has fallen in the street. That's where we are. One of the things I was just thinking about this week is I was thinking about, it's the same thing as when I was a teenager. And every generation, I've kind of watched it. Every generation, what happens is there are people who are playing a game in their 20s and their early 30s who are out there in the party scene. And they're out there and in the party scene, and they're all out there putting on an appearance, and some of them are having a whole lot of fun, and a whole bunch of them are very miserable. And the young people looking up to those people are watching them at 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and watching them party and watching them dance and watching that hooking up scene out there. And they're thinking, boy, those people are all so happy and they're all having so much fun. But those of us who are older, we already went through that stage. We already know people who went through that. And we know that they are just numbing the emptiness. And by the time that person's 40, they'll be saying, what's life about? And why, man? And they who are mocking the Christians and the people who live for the Lord, who are mocking them, are going to look at them and say, you know, I wish I would have spent my youth like you. And we'll look back and say, you know, in their 50s, as they've been medicating themselves and whatever method they use to medicate themselves out of their misery, and see that their life is pretty empty. And even though they've gained possession of things, that life's kind of empty. They just don't see that. And just see that it's all a lie. You just watch them trying to act cooler and more hip than each other and trying to act like they're how happy they are. And they're having fun sometimes, the pleasure of sin for a season. But those of you who know they're all just doing that to make themselves look happy. It's all a facade. It's no truth to it. It's all just temporary, just doing things to have fun and going to a party to have fun, but they're miserable the rest of the time and not at the party. And then in the end, the party's just going to end up, I'm tired of this. And the party scene, it just, there's no truth there. There is no way to overestimate the value of the truth. The truth is so important. There's no way to overestimate the value of the truth. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23 says this, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. It's so valuable. The truth is so valuable. The truth is the truth. We need to line up with it. your interpretation of the truth does not make it true. And we've talked about that so many times, but there's so many people who believe something's true and then they find out they're wrong. Somebody's driving along and say, I know it's just down the street here and they're on the wrong street, but they really believe that they're almost there. And then pretty soon it starts dawning on them, I was wrong. It wasn't this street. I turned in the wrong street. I thought this was the street. I know I left it right here, but it's not there. See, you don't change the truth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians and chapter 13 and verse 8, we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. You can take the truth and give it to somebody else, and you can propagate the truth, but you can't do anything against the truth. The truth is the truth, okay? And the truth of life is so valuable to know it, because what is right and what is true is just true. It's not situational. It's not changing. It's not like gravity changes if you don't believe in it. Or it's not like, if you just believe that if your heart isn't beating, you'll be just fine. Your heart stops beating, you're just not fine. The truth is what it is, okay? And it's just there. And it's so valuable to know. What is the meaning of life? Why are we here? What is the way to heaven? Who is Jesus? What is the right way to live? How is the right way to have a family? How should I be thinking? The truth is so incredibly valuable. Just a few thoughts. You must have the truth to know the Lord. Let me just read you. I got a lot of verses in a lot of places, so I'm going to be turning a lot. So I don't know if you want to turn to all of them, but I will give you the references and turn there. 1 John in chapter 2. I'll give you the references. See, the Lord and truth are intertwined, and you can't separate the Lord from the truth. You can't get to the Lord in a lie. The Lord is not anywhere near lies. The Lord is the truth. 1 John 2 and verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know the truth, and that no lies are the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. He says, you know the truth, and there's no lie in the truth. The truth is the truth, and there's not a lie in there. You must have the truth to know the Lord. Now, key verse in all the message tonight is John chapter 4. And John chapter 4. Key verse here, John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24, Jesus speaking. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? You got to have the truth to worship Jesus. As a matter of fact, God is truth. Bible says in John 14, 6, a little later, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14 and verse 17, even the spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father. Verse 26, but the spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. The spirit is truth. See, God is in truth. If you want to find God, you cannot just go your own way and hope you get there. Okay? Let's say you want to go to my door. You say, you know what? I just want to go to any door. Whatever door I believe in will be your door. No, you will get shot at the wrong door. You will go to the wrong door and have the police called on you. You'll find a locked door and nobody answering it because you're not going to the right door. There's the truth of which door is mine. If you go to my door, you'll go to me. If you want to go to God, he is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm the truth you need to go to the Father. And so truth is so valuable because it gets us the way to God. Adam and Eve were told that if they eat the forbidden fruit, they'd be as gods, knowing good and evil. But the truth was, the day they ate of it, they died. Because God told them that. Just because the devil said this is truth, and she ate the fruit thinking something else would happen, doesn't mean that she didn't die. The truth is so valuable, because it's our only way to God. You must have the truth to know the Lord. Powerful verses in Proverbs chapter 14. And verse 12, it says this, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So God says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends are ever the ways of death. Just because it seems right to you does not mean it's the truth. How many things seem right to people? Somebody goes up and they say, if I go blow myself up in this crowd of civilians, I will go to paradise with 72 virgins. They believe that. That's why they blow themselves up. But it doesn't make it true. It's wrong. It's not true. Okay? And just because you believe something does not make it the truth. There's a way which seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You say you walk in and you got four doors, and you find out if you go in the wrong door, when you step through, you will be now on the edge of a cliff. There's nothing but lava at the bottom. You'll never can open that door again. And only one of those doors will keep you alive. And three of them are wrong. So you say to the man there, you say, which one do I go in? Boy, don't you want to know the truth? Which one do I go in? I have to know. Well, it's no big deal. Just pick one. No. I want to know the truth. I want to know which one's the right one. Tell me. And you got to know, because it's so important to know the truth. And we're talking about eternity here. We're talking about life and all the choices you'll make. And then what happens for eternity? There is a way which seems right unto a man. I'm only saying this for one reason. Love the truth. Find the truth and love it. The truth is so important that we have it. We've got to know what it is. Why else is the truth important? Because it sets you free. Back in John chapter 8, well-known verses. But the truth sets you free. John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 34, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You know what's so wonderful about truth? It makes you free. Free from the power of sin. Free from fear. Free from bondage. Truth is wonderful. It sets you free. It sets you free. I've heard people give all kinds of cute little ideas and all kinds of wacky secular things that they say will work. And I've just watched people try them because they sound so good. Except for they don't work. They don't work. The truth sets you free. The truth sets you free. The truth will also cleanse you. John chapter 17, while we're in John, well-known verses here, but John chapter 17, verse 17 through 19. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, the Bible. As thou hast sent me into the world, Jesus speaking and praying to the Father, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I want to say, once you know the truth changes your life. The truth changes your life. It's wonderful. And the truth sets you free. I was so blessed, and I don't want to ever take it for granted. It just so happens, I don't know why God was so good to me. I would have been blessed to ever hear the gospel and been saved, and that's wonderful. But I'm so glad that God sent a man all the way from Arkansas, all the way to Oregon City, and that man started a church, and just one day he happened to be out of Fred Meyer and standing in front of Fred Meyer handing out tracts, and he handed tracts to a young man who was somewhat a friend of mine, who was Gabriel White, who was Roman's brother. And he handed him a track, and Gabriel had just gotten saved not too long ago, and he wanted to start coming to church. And Roman had just been saved, and they wanted to start coming to church, go to church. And they went to that church. I'm so glad I went to a church that preached the Bible. I'm so glad I went to a church that preached the Bible. Now, there's a lot of churches that preach some truth and have a little bit of Bible and have some good truth, and that's good. They believe in the Trinity. They believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and they believe some good things. But I'm so glad I went to a church that was really a church with a lot of truth, and taught about winning souls, and taught about the heart for people, and taught about having zeal for God, and taught good doctrine and clear salvation and all those things. But you know what? I'm hungry for the truth. And I know the Bible says in John 14:26, the Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. And I decided, you know what? I'm just going to believe whatever the Bible says, whether my church says it or not. And I began to just seek the truth and be a true seeker and a true studier. And as I came to every major doctrine that was controversial and that I knew Christians and I knew a lot of Christians and they had different beliefs on things, I went to God and said, God, what is the truth on this? There seems to be some confusion. And I decided I am not going to just believe something because somebody tells me. I'm going to study the Word of God and see what it says because I found out the Word of God. By that time, I'd already studied the Bible enough to say, good night. This book's amazing. This is the Word of God. Once you start studying the Bible, you don't have any questions anymore. You know it's the Word of God. I knew it was the Word of God. And so when I'd come to a doctrine, whether it was eternal security, whether you can lose your salvation, whether it was speaking in tongues, whether it was when the rapture happens or whatever it was, I would memorize every verse in the Bible I could find in the subject. I mean, memorize them. And then I'd say, Lord, I'll believe whatever you want me to believe. And I would seek the Bible and I would seek what it said. And I'd wait till God opened my eyes and helped me understand it. And if he didn't, I wouldn't decide on what it said. I just wouldn't. I went to Bible college, and the truth was, it was a good Bible college. And I was blessed to go there with a lot of good things that I needed. However, there were some things there I didn't agree with. You know what? The truth is more important than my alma mater. I don't know what alma mater means. I'm not obligated to them. I disagree with them on some things. Fine. I don't agree with everything in my home church. That's fine. I am seeking the truth. When I came out here and I started the church, I didn't fellowship with any other churches. I'm not part of any denomination. I worked a full-time job, so I wouldn't be obligated to anybody because I owed them, because they gave to the ministry and helped us start it. I want to be free to do. And if God showed me something I never studied before, I never understood, and all of a sudden I said, man, if I believe that, I'm going to lose my support. I never wanted to be in that situation, so I started the church working a full-time job. Why? So I can be free to have the truth. And for a year, I just studied the Word, made sure I was right in everything, and made sure I believed everything just right, and studied it and found out most everything I believed was right. And thank God, I just kind of ended up in a very fortunate situation where I was around the people who were pretty much right. I had a few little things I was a little different on. And you know what? I was willing, and I still am willing, whatever the Bible says, to believe. Why? Because the truth's so important. The truth sets you free. The truth sanctifies you. The truth gets you to God. And you've got to know what God says. And you've got to just be open to the truth. I don't know if we're perfect on every single doctrine. I do know we're very close to lining up what the Bible says. And I want to say this, not because I'm the pastor, because I'm just a part of the church just like you are. You're very blessed to be in this church. And here, the truth preached. We should appreciate that. I know we can't put on the show other churches can. I know that stuff. But we can teach you the Bible like nobody else can. You can learn the truth. And that's the most important thing. That's not what everybody wants. So, don't ruin your opportunity in the truth. All that was to say, make sure you understand the value of the truth. But I want to say, don't ruin your opportunity. I'm going to give you a few ways that people ruin their opportunity with the truth. Number one, don't try to change the truth. We can do nothing against the truth before the truth. Turn to Romans 1. We'll give you a couple points out of Romans 1. Because Romans 1 talks very specifically about the truth. Don't ruin your opportunity. Don't change the truth. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25 says this. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Funny thing happens, and Ahab had and Israel had forsaken God, and the prophet said, if you do this, you're going to go into a drought and bad things are going to happen. And they kept on disobeying God, and they said, okay, it won't rain until I say it's going to rain. And Elijah was there, and Ahab comes to him, and he's very mad because it had not rained for such a long period of time, and there's a major famine in the land. And Elijah just said, if you do this, this is going to happen. That's the truth. In 1 Kings 18, Ahab rides up to Elijah and says, there you are. You're the one who's troubling Israel. Was that true? He said, this is God who's doing this because you won't repent and you keep doing it. But what do? They change the truth into a lie. Why? So that he's not responsible. In the next verse, let me read you the verses, 1 Kings 18, verse 17 and 18. It says this. It says, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Ahab said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house. And they have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed Baal. They changed the truth of God. I want to say this. If you say that something is not true, so you can feel good about what you're doing, you're in a heap of trouble. You're in a heap of trouble. Much better off saying, I'm doing wrong here, than trying to change the truth. And I've seen people who I've sat in church with, who I labored together as people, and all of a sudden they wanted to do this. They wanted this to be true. They didn't want this obligation. They didn't want they wanted to justify what they're doing, and they changed the truth of God into a lie. Now it's still true. But when you try to change the truth, the Bible says people wrest the scriptures, twist is what the word means, to their own destruction. Don't try to change the truth. Don't try to change the truth. It's very dangerous. You might feel good for a little while. You might say, you know what? I drink this poison. It really tastes good, and it really is good for me. And you'll feel good after you drink it, saying, see, I feel good, I feel good, I feel good. And for a little while you will, but it'll still be poison. It'll still be poison. Don't change the truth into a lie. It does not make it right because you justified it. It does not make it right because you, it's okay if I do this, they did that. That does not, you're changing the truth. It's not right. Do not try to justify what you do. Just be honest. The truth is too valuable and too precious. You can't change it anyway. You can jump out the building and say, I know gravity is going to end before I get to the ground. And you'll feel better while you're falling. But you still go splat. Okay? It does not matter. Don't try to change the truth. God's given you something so valuable. Don't try to change it. Next, don't hold the truth in unrighteousness. I'm back in Romans 1 again. I hope you kept your finger there. I keep taking you away from where I have you. Romans chapter 1. The truth is wonderful. It should be appreciated when you know something that's right. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. No, that's bad. Against all ungodliness, that's bad. And unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That means you know, but you're not doing what it says. You know this is right. You know what is true. But you're holding it in unrighteousness. Saying, yeah, I know. You know what? Boy, if you've been privileged to be given the truth, don't you dare hold it in righteousness. You have a precious gift that millions are like Pilate saying, what is truth? And you have it. Don't dare hold it in righteousness. There's a great accountability when you've been given the truth. I always marvel when I meet someone who sits there and says, I know this, I taught this, I know so much. I already know all that stuff. Don't say it arrogantly. Say it embarrassed. You know that and you're living like that? And you're bragging about how much you know? Wow. Like me saying, you know, I killed all these people, but I knew more than anybody else how bad it was to kill them. That's not a good thing to brag about. You're increasing your accountability. Somebody who doesn't know the truth is not nearly as accountable as someone who knows it. And make sure if you want to know the truth, make sure you're going to live it. You're going to take what you're given and understand the gift and follow it. Next, love the truth that you have. I'm going to take you to 2 Thessalonians. Fascinating verse. People this is an end times verse. People don't use it properly and give the whole context of it. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. A lot of people like to talk about verse 11 and 12 about the strong delusion, and that's true, and the end times that happens. We'll read verse 11 and 12 real quick. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, a big error, that they should believe a lie, and they might be damned to believe not the truth, but had pleasure in a righteousness. Now, you got a little sandwich here. A lot of people like to take that thing in the middle there and just talk about that. Look, in the end times, God sends them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. Understand, God said, for this cause. Okay, what's the cause? Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They were given the opportunity, and they were given truth, and they said, get that out of here. I want to do unrighteousness. I don't want that. And God said, you could have been saved, but now, since you've decided you don't want the truth, and you don't receive the love of the truth, I'm going to go ahead and let the Antichrist deceive you, and you're going to believe he is God, you're going to worship him and take his mark, and you will be damned, because you did not have a love for the truth when I gave it to you. So that's harsh. The Lord says truth is very valuable, and if you throw it aside, God says, hey, I gave you truth. You did not take care of what I gave you, and so you have that happen. Very important. One of the most important thing I'll say, the whole sermon is this right here. Truth's opportunity is how you respond to the truth you have. You understand that? Truth's opportunity is God hands you truth. You say, okay. And then what you do with that determines how much more truth you get. If you take what he gave you and throw it away, God says, I guess you're not going to get any more because you don't want it. If you're faithful with the truth you have, God will always give you more light and lead and guide you into all truth. You'll be like Cornelius, who had no idea, but he had a vision, and Peter came to him and gave him the gospel, even though he had nothing to do with Israel or God or anything else, but he was seeking God and taking what he knew, and he was using what he had. He valued the truth that he had. Many people want more truth. Here's what we want. So God comes up and he says, here's some truth. And you say, you know what? That's not my favorite truth. I don't really want to do that. But can you give me some truth about this stuff over here? God says, nah, I don't think so. How many people, they want to know all these doctrines of the Bible and all these debatable and all these things that are controversial and what is this about this? They want to know all that stuff. And I'm going, buddy, you're a terrible husband. Start with husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. You've already been given truth. How about you quit smoking before you want more truth? Because God already wants you to do that. He already told you that. How about you quit stealing from people? Well, I mean, I need to know deeper things. No, you don't. You need to take the truth you have and live it. How about you just go to church every Sunday like God told you to? Well, what about the deeper things? Truth's opportunity is what do you do with the truth given to you? Do you believe it? Do you live it? Do you accept it? Or do you deny it? Do you fight it? Now, having said that statement, let's go to Romans 1, and I'm going to read you, we've read a couple of verses here. I'm going to read you the whole passage, and watch how God every time responds to what they did with the truth given to them. Do they respond properly when God gives them truth? Then if they do, then he gives them much more. Romans 1, 18. I'm going to read a lengthy passage. If you're following along, watch God giving truth, watch their response, watch God's response to how they respond to the truth that's already been given to them. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God showed him creation. Because when they knew God, conscience and creation, by the way, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and were foolish, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, because they did that, God gave them up to uncleanness, through their lusts in their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is meat. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, and then they go downhill. See how God gave them truth? They said, nope, don't like that. I want right and righteousness. Here's truth. I'm changing that. Here's truth. Don't want that. Kept on going. God said, okay, fine. Truth's opportunity is what do you do with what's God given you? I'd rather be a person with very little truth and living just a little bit of truth than a person who knows a whole bunch and doesn't live it. Right, Romans chapter 2 and verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey in righteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of the man that doeth evil, the Jew first and also the Gentile. Why? Because they do not obey the truth. Say, yeah, man, I go to Open Door and I get all this truth under the Bible so well, and I've learned so much while I'm going there. Awesome. You must be living amazing. Because you've been given a lot of truth. Too much is given, much is required. I just wish God would reveal his will to me. Well, he revealed to you a whole bunch of stuff and you're not living it. Why should he give you a spooky will? Well, I want to know, who am I going to marry? How about, why am I going to quit cussing? He's given you his will. He's revealed. You haven't done it. So why should he give you the will that is not in the Bible, that's mysterious and very hard to find? Why should he give you all those truths when he's revealed to you a bunch of simple things? You won't do them. That's good. That's true. Amen. Okay, let's get off that point before I'm stoned far tarred and feathered. How are we doing? We like that truth? Amen. How are you doing with the truth you have? You doing good? You living it? All right, good. Number four, let me just give you these 4 points about don't ruin your opportunity. One, do not try to change the truth. Number two, don't hold the truth in a righteous. Number three, love the truth you have. Number four, realize it's not just study that'll get you the truth. 2 Timothy 3:7-8 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, if you don't study the Bible, you don't listen to the Spirit. If you don't have the right sources. But I read in the internet. Listen, if you don't have the right sources, you can study a whole bunch. There's the other things you can read, and there's some knowledge out there that's good and great. And I like being well-read and reading a lot of things. Good. Study. Great. But I want to know the foundation, thy word is truth. The Bible, those of us and of all different ages, those of you out there, and so many of you know what I'm talking about, you just study the Bible and you just say, it is so many miles above all the earth's knowledge. It's so much different. It's just on a different level, and it works. Everything in the Bible works when you do it. You just got to do what the Bible says. Last thing I want to say is not a point, but just let the Lord lead you into all truth. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father, he shall teach you all things. He will lead and guide you into all truth, the Bible says. 2 Timothy 4. Let me show you this, and we'll finish up there. 2 Timothy 4. There will come a day when people don't want to hear the truth. I don't think we're quite there yet. We still have a good amount of people who want to hear the truth. Praise the Lord. There are still some good churches out there preaching the truth, here and abroad. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy. In chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, They want to hear what they want, what they're doing is okay. Shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? I want to hear this. Tell me what I want to hear. And shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. You see, when they're self-willed and want to do what they want to do, they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear somebody tell them what they want to hear. And we all want that, right? What if your team lost today in football? And you say, no, 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 no. If my team lost, don't tell me. Just make up a score. That way they won't have lost. Listen, if you're a 49ers fan and told you, hey, the 49ers won today. Did the 49ers win today?
No.
No. It doesn't. Now, but that's what I want to hear. Oh, well, I don't want to hear that the Seahawks won. I want to hear the 49ers won. Okay. The 49ers won. They're going to win the Super Bowl this year. Yeah, it feels so good. But you know you're really miserable when the season ends? And you find out that's not true? Because you want to hear something doesn't mean it's good for you to hear it. Doctor, please don't tell me I'm sick. Just tell me I'm fine. You're not. No, 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 no. Just tell me I'm healthy. I want to hear that everything's fine. But if you don't get treatment, nope. I want to hear that I'm fine. I want to feel good. And if you tell me I'm fine, then I'll be fine because that'll be the truth because that's what I want. Okay, you're fine. Thank you. I feel so good. Are you okay? You're in trouble. You're in trouble. He looks at the nurse as you walk out of the room and says, they'll die in a month. They need that medication. But I don't want to hear that. Well, but you know what? The truth will set you free. The truth will cleanse you. The truth will bless you. You are so blessed. So I want to say, how are you doing with your truth? I'm so thankful that I have a Bible. My own copy. I can read any time. And I want you to read the Bible. I'm so glad that I found out the right way to heaven. I'm so glad that I found out Jesus loves me unconditionally. I'm so glad that I have a Father in heaven. I'm so glad that I found the truth that I'd be set free from sin. I'm so glad I go to a church that preaches the word and preaches truth. Do you really appreciate the truth? Do you take what God's given you and treasure? Lord, you gave me this opportunity to hear this. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to treasure this truth. Or do you just kind of say, yeah, I know, but you know, are you living with what God's given to you? Do you ever realize when you talk to your Christian friends how much more you know than them? Boy, are you blessed. You're so blessed. I'm so blessed. And I don't want to have something as precious as the truth and not appreciate it and live it and thank God for it and give him glory that I have truth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the truth, Lord. Buy the truth and sell it not. No man pleads the truth so they can know that my arm's not shortened. I can still fix this mess. But nobody wants to know the truth. Oh, Lord, what a bad condition we're in many times because we have itching ears. We want to just hear what we want to hear. Help us to realize the value of the truth. Sometimes it hurts to hear the truth. But Lord, it sets us free. It sanctifies us. It's so valuable. Lord, may we not twist it. May we take it and treat it as precious. May we live what we know. And I know, Lord, we're weak and we can't do perfect. But help us not to just try to change things when we don't like it. Thank you for the word of God. And I pray we'd love it and love you. And thank you for the truth every day. Thank you for leading us into the truth as much as we have. And if there's something wrong in it, which it probably is, Father, I pray you'd lead us all the way to 100% perfection and truth. Lord, help us, Father. And Lord, may we realize the accountability of truth. And may we take the truth that we have and be right with it so you can give us more. And I just pray tonight, if there's anybody who needs to get right in these things, I pray that we would just be in love with the truth and thankful and appreciative and moving in these areas and thankful for it. We just pray these things and thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to have pianists come. And tonight, how are you doing with the truth? Well, not very good. Well, then you better respond to it. Well, I probably won't. Well, then you've been given truth and didn't do with it. Then don't expect more. I would respond to it if God spoke to your heart. if God spoke to your heart. We're not going to press you, but how you doing? Are you really thankful that you're sitting in the Bible preaching church tonight? Do you know how blessed and how blessed you are? And we're not the only one, but aren't you glad you're in church? Right now, come, if God spoke to your heart, how are you doing at the truth? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Come, Christian. Thank God for what you have. Don't spoil it. Don't go and mess around. Don't go look for something or somewhere where you can hear what you want to hear. Don't. Live your life for God, and He's given you what He's given you so you can be used by Him. Did you grow up in a good Christian home where they teach you the truth? Oh, man. Woo! You ought to praise God. You learned the truth at home? Wow. I didn't get that opportunity. The truth. Hey, you know, sin still sin. Adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, murder. It's all still sin. What if everybody's doing it? It's still the truth. It's still the truth. Doesn't matter. Well, I've heard so many things where somebody just tries to justify what they do. Well, we love each other. We're married in God's eyes. No, you're not. You're just telling yourself that. You need to get married. Okay, if you're married in God's eyes and you love each other, then get married. Well, God understands. No, He really doesn't. He understands you're sinning. Don't change the truth of God into a lie because you don't want to do something or you want to do something. God doesn't want me to go to church. It's full of hypocrites. Yep, He still wants you to go to church. Show me that verse where it says you don't have to go to church if there's hypocrites there. It's not in there. Don't change the truth. Thank God for truth. Love the truth. Live the truth. Pass truth's test. Did you